Open up to Romans chapter 12. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Again, Father, I know this without a doubt, that it is our bread from heaven. And as we water it today, Father, may the seed grow in us. And only you can give it growth. And we ask that you grow it within us so that we can act on it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. And amen. Well, I want to talk a little bit about faith. And, we got to hear that again. Yes, you do. Because without faith, you're not saved. And so there has to be something to the issue of faith. In Romans chapter 12, we'll go there first. And I was studying these three or four words, and I decided to really get into the original text on this particular passage. And when I did, I was a little surprised. I was a little shocked because we're going to talk about faith here. So right away, I want to inform you that last Sunday, I made it very clear that we have to develop spiritually, not just naturally, but also spiritually. When we're developing spiritually, then the natural will fall into its proper setting. Amen? So we covered that. We covered the fact that we're not veiled as the Old Testament believers were veiled. In other words, they had the body of flesh to contend with, and God worked through that with them. But we're different in the New Testament because we no longer have the veil over us. It has been rent at the cross. And that means that God now can move into our hearts that he couldn't do in the Old Testament. But anyway, when I was reading Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that's verse 1, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Somebody say this with me. My body. A living sacrifice. Now, what does that remind you of what we've been talking about? There's three doctrines that we have to understand. The number one is co-crucified. And number two is born of the Spirit. And number three, how the Holy Spirit works within us. But when I was reading this particular passage and got into the Greek, you understand a little bit about the tenses and everything. I was literally surprised at what I had found when he uses a term, prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When I started reading this, when I first read that, because everyone that deals with the subject of renewing your mind, they throw these words in here and giving you information about how you grow progressively. It's like a statement saying, if you present your body as a living sacrifice, this is what will happen to you. You will develop from the, that you will be proving what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, but when I went into the Greek and began to look at it according to the Greek, it had nothing to do with something that automatically takes place in you. These words have everything to do with what you purpose to do to change the way you think. In other words, that you can prove, bring to a test what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. I just thought, if I go to renew my mind, these are the things that's going to happen to me, because I will not only be able to test what is good, I will also receive what is acceptable, and then I will find the perfect will of God. I want you to catch what I'm saying. But when I was looking at this in the Greek, it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with how you pursue God to renew your mind. And so he goes on and says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you something. If you understand the proving of the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, then you will understand what it means to present your body a living sacrifice. Because I'm going to tell you something. There are a lot of believers that are not willing to give up their natural man to pursue God and the way he thinks. So this word here, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, actually it's your logical service. And do not be conformed to this world. This world literally means to fashion yourself like it any longer. It stops. You're not going to fashion yourself any longer after the world. It's going to stop. We're going to talk about faith here. It's going to stop. You know, a lot of people don't understand that when you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things must pass away. They must go someplace. And it usually starts in the way we think. And he says, even though we've known Christ after the flesh, we don't know him anymore. But we know him after the Spirit. And that's why it says you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The word creature there in the Greek is very interesting. It means a new creation back to its original place. When I caught that original place, well, we know before the fall, Adam and Eve communicated with God spirit to spirit. They didn't communicate to God body to spirit. They communicated with God spirit to spirit. But after the fall, what happened? Satan, his main goal was to separate the soul so that the spiritual mind would lose its identity over time. And we find that that did happen according to Genesis chapter 6, because God approached Noah and said, well, I can no longer strive with humanity because they've become one with their flesh now. So Satan knew when he approached Adam and Eve, Satan knew what God had in mind because of that first world that he was over. So he knew what God was up to, but Adam and Eve did not know the full plan that God had for them. So that fall did a lot of damage to all of us, all of mankind that was born into this world. So we see Eve and Adam and Eve partake of that, not knowing the full consequences of their choice. You know, that's the way the devil works. He'll approach you and lie about what God said. There's four things he told Eve, and the other three were a part of truth. Just a part of truth. Because Satan covers up the consequences of the wrong choice. That's his main goal, is to cover up the consequences of your choice. And so, to me, it would really be to our advantage then to want to know how God thinks. Amen? That is so important to us. Now, he says here, this word conform means to fashion just like the world, or to conform to the same pattern outwardly. This is not referring to an inward change. This word conformed is talking about an outward change, not an inward change. I'm going to tell you something. An outward change without an inward change is where we pick up the term hypocrisy. In other words, you're expressing something that you really are not on the inside. Now notice what he says next. Very interesting. To this world, but be transformed. Metamorphosis. It means a deep inner change from the natural to the spiritual. From the natural to the spiritual. You know, in this ministry, I hammer it all the time. Your greatest success is to understand what it means to be born from above. And that is only in our time frame. I cannot express that enough. Because the greatest victories in my personal life to overcome sin. Yeah, your pastor had sin at one time. Yeah, I know. Don't leave, Lonnie. Stick here. But I'm just carnal just like you guys as far as the physical being. But I learned how to overcome it. I learned how to overcome it, and how I overcame it is I did something with what I was spiritually. And the doorway to my greatest success has always been praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And, of course, the devil attacks that right away because he knows that that is your greatest victory, is to open your mouth and speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. Now, people say that the Holy Spirit will speak through you. He does not speak through you. He gives you the utterance. You speak in tongues. The gifts are within you once you've received the new birth. Now, watch what he goes on here. And he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we know that renewing of the mind benefits us. But when I looked up these words, here's what the word prove comes up to mean. It means to test. To test. And when I caught this, I went, wow, I never saw it that way. It means to test with the expectation of approving. So, you know, we're dealing with faith. And God gave us His Word. He spoke it to us. And so what we have to do is we have to prove that word to us, but how we approach it to change the way we think, we have to do it with an expectation of proving to ourself it works. It works. It works. It works. People, the Word of God works. The Word of God works. We're in a crisis right now, but I got news for you. The Word of God works. And if you don't believe that, then you do not understand faith. So he says the first one is that you may test. So we've got to approach the Word of God with an expectation within us that it is going to come up as an approving approach. Approach that will be approved of God. Let's go on. To prove what is that good. Underline the word good in your Bible. The word good here means, it's agathos, which means a, now I want you to get ready for this. There are a lot of Christians that say they're in faith and they could care less about the leading of the Holy Ghost in their life for tomorrow. They're just interested in God meeting their needs today. He says that you may test what is the good. And this word agathos means the putting forth, the best of your ability. By putting forth the best of your ability. This is how he's telling us that you have to approach the Word of God to change the way you think. And it has a whole lot to do with your mindset to approach the Word of God with. Are you guys following me so far? I want you to get a hold of this, because when I saw it, I went, oh my gosh. Wow. I didn't realize how much I was committed within myself to change the way that I think. Now watch this. That you may prove what is the good and, that's a copulative word, and, chi, which means that if you're going to understand what it means in the realm of the good, then you cannot be exempt from the acceptable. They're together. You can't, it's kind of like sozo and soteria. You can't have sozo without inheriting soteria. They both belong to you. You can't separate them. They have different meanings, but you can't separate them. Now watch this. The word acceptable, this is really good. When I looked at it, I said, Father, I never saw the requirement of me pursuing your word to change the way I think through these words like this. And here's the word acceptable. A knowing what is well-pleasing to God, one who is recognizing what God's will is. Wow. Is this speaking something to you people? You know, we're always testing faith. You don't test faith, you pursue for it to grow in you. So you got to have the right mindset for it to begin to work. And, chi again, perfect. The word perfect means mature. Sometimes it means when the presence of God is present. But the word perfect here literally means that which has reached its end. It's complete, full, wanting nothing. What? You mean to tell me that I've got to approach the Word of God in order for it to be changed? I got to approach it with the expectation that it's going to prove itself within my heart, and it's also going to require me to put forth my best for my ability to do this, and a joining of single words with others, because you can't have the one without the other, acceptable. Meaning a knowing what is well-pleasing to God. One who is recognizing what God's will is. Do you know something? People, when they want to grow in their faith, you have to determine within yourself that you're recognizing the will of God. How many times have you been around people and said, well, you never know what the will of God is? Would you mind explaining to me where you're coming from when you say you never know what the will of God is? Because if you're saying you never know what the will of God is from the Bible, I got news for you. It's expressed in the Bible. His will is made clear in the Bible. The only time I use this word, well, you never know what the will of God is your commitment for your personal walk with God. It's all right for you to not understand fully right yet what God has for you, because you can't get in there and read where it says Jan Butler is going to go down this road and this is what he's going to accomplish and anything. No, what you have to do is you have to seek the mind of God for him to show you his will for your life. That's your calling and what you're called to do. Amen. Is this helping you a little bit? Now, notice this. And there's that copulative word again. You can't have one without the other. And perfect will. The word perfect means that which has reached its end, it's complete, it's full, wanting nothing. And will meaning the determined resolve that cannot change or needs adding to it, your will is set. Did you get that? Your will is now set. That means that no one can change your mind if you don't let them. But your will is set because you have an understanding of what the will of God is, because you put it forth and used it so that you could prove to yourself it works. Most of us don't approve. We don't approach the Word of God that way. We need to start approaching the Word of God that way. Not just something that might work for us and might not. We got to approach it that if we know the will of God, it's going to work for us. It's going to work for us. Oh, glory to God. It's going to work for us. Hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know something? You need to be careful what you keep putting your ear to. If I'm going to put my ear to negativity, I better balance it out with the positivity. Is that right? Almost said pository. But positivity of the will of God. You got to balance that out within yourself, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's how your faith comes, by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, you can't approach the Word of God and say, well, I hope this is His will. I hope it works for me. No, these words are very interesting, because this is the mindset that you have to have when you approach the Word of God to change the way you think. Kenneth Hagin has a book out I highly recommend. It has so helped me to put a GPS on my life so that my faith would not stumble. It's called What You Need to Do When Your Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. Boy, that is a good book. Get that book. You know why a lot of people don't like the faith message? Because when you really understand it, you're the responsible dude, not God. You're the one responsible for your faith, not God. God's responsible to see to it that you have something to put your faith into. But it's up to you to do something about putting it in you. Amen. So here's some points that he brought out, 10 of them. He says, when you have need of committing a new energy to your faith, start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start praying in tongues. Number two, recognize the source. Recognize the source. You know, I was in my office one day, and I was dry as cracker juice and walking around, and I was getting on the internet reference material to find a good message to preach to you. And you know, you can only live so long on that. And that's when God then began to approach me and let me know, why don't you come to me with what your people need? You don't go and give them something you think they need. I said, I never thought of it that way. He says, start thinking that way. God has a way of being very direct to you. He says, when I order up their meal in the church, he says, it's because I ordered it up, not you. And I said, okay, all right, God, all right. And he says, so you quit looking at what other people are saying. You got to get in and study the Word of God for yourself personally. It's okay to go back and reread certain material and do a research and things like that. He says, but really, you have to hear my ear, because every week I plan a meal for my people, and too many of them are not understanding how to hear the Word of God. Too many of you got your minds on another channel right when the Holy Spirit is trying to deliver you an understanding. And then you say, the Holy Spirit talked to me. What, during the service? The Holy Spirit doesn't cut in on himself. You got to stay focused when the Word of God is being preached from the pulpit. I didn't want to be this bold, but God said, you better start being this bold, because if I put that in you to give to my people, you make them understand that they've got to hear it. They've got to listen to it, because I put it together for you. So I'm telling you this morning, you need to understand faith and how to approach God's word so it can grow in you. Thank you. So he said, recognize the source. Well, I'll tell you, my source was, I'm flat dead. There's not any energy in me at all. And I said, I can't pastor this way. I got a pastor being on fire. And so he told me to start praying in tongues. So I start praying in tongues again. You know what praying in tongues does? It charges you up. It charges you up. And this is what it does. It energizes the word of God in your thinking. So I knew the source was me, the problem. The second thing he said, be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. Be sure the promises of God cover the things you ask for. Do not go beyond the word. Stay within the framework of the word, because he watches over that to perform on your behalf. So be sure the promises of God cover the things that you ask for. I'm going to tell you something. If you say you have faith, then you're a performer of it. But if you say you have faith and you don't do it, you're self-deceived. You forgot what manner of man you used to be. Number three, be sure you're not living in sin. Also, make sure you're not living in the realm of where no forgiveness is operating in your heart and life. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have forgiveness operating in you, that is the same mind you've got to believe God with. So how can you have a form of absence of forgiveness and expect faith to work in you? God didn't say that because you tick him off. He said it because it's what happens to your thinking when you harbor unforgiveness in that mind of yours, because that will stymie your faith. Be sure that no doubt or unbelief is permitted to question your faith. Do you know what? The minute God says something to you by the Spirit, automatically your natural mind has a voice. It's called contemporaneous action. Romans 8:7. It means that the minute God speaks to you by the Spirit, your stupid, natural, intellectual, physical brain has a voice at the same time. Hey, you know, that's not possible. Why? Because it's sensual bound. It's bound by senses. I'll tell you what, I like what Kenneth Hagin said. Even though that mind has a voice, don't pay no attention to it. It'll always go off in you. Why? Because it questions what it don't understand. And number five, well, let's get back to this doubt. You know what doubt does? Another opinion gets in the way. I'm going to have doubt in my head, but I'm going to have faith coming out of my mouth and my heart. Number five, sincerely desire the benefit. Sincerely desire the benefit. There's a lot of people that they want God to do something for them, but they just want God to do it so they can get off the hook. It's just an inconvenience for them. Isn't that nice? Ask God in faith, nothing wavering. It literally means do not let that other mind even pay, don't even pay attention to it. Just keep your mind on the promise or the word of God that you're going to let come out of your mouth. Because that natural mind is always going to be a blabbermouth. And the only way that that mouth is going to shut up is when you get the answer to what you're seeking God for, and that automatically cancels that voice for that area. Automatically. Oh, it came. Oh, I don't have anything more to say. Well, thank you. Do not tolerate a thought. To the contrary, this is double-mindedness. Count the thing done. Now, this is a major thing that finally got a hold of me real quick when he said, count the thing done. Are you ready? Your receiving is not the same, has nothing to do with the manifestation. When I receive something from God, whether it manifests or not, I'm going to receive it. The manifestation will have to just follow what I've already received. See how simple this stuff is? But you know what? We listen to that natural mind, and it makes things very complicated. Very complicated. Your receiving is not the same as the manifestation. In Mark 11:24, oh, that's Kenneth Hagin, 11:24, Mark. He says, whatever you ask for, believe that you receive it and you will have it. In the Greek it says, and you will have it. You know what? We are lazy people. We are flat lazy. I'm speaking for myself. I want it now. Right now. I can't go through this no more. Get it now. Well, you know what the Lord told me one day? If you want it now, go to McDonald's. And this other point I thought was very interesting. When you fulfill an operation of your faith in a certain area, you know what you're doing? You're giving glory back to God. You're letting someone know of the goodness of God that was over your life, and the same thing can happen to their life. You know, we got too many witnesses, and yeah, I know so-and-so tried that too, and it didn't work for them. I'm not going by another man's witness. I'm going by what the Word of God says. I don't know their heart, and if they didn't succeed, it's because they were not in faith, period, over and out. But I am not going to categorize myself with being out of faith. I'm going to make sure that I'm in the faith. Are you guys getting something? I thought I heard somebody say, I wish you'd shut up so I can go home. Now, this is a real hard one. For me as well. Act as though you've received it. Kenneth Hagin said, write your own ticket with God. Boy, they had a hard time with that one. I said, that's not a good title. It means you can order God around to a simple-minded person that doesn't know God, you know. He said you could order God around. Write your own ticket with God. But that's not where he was coming from. But what he was saying is he says, if you know the will of God and you follow it through, if you know the will of God and you follow it through, if you know the will of God and you follow it through, then act as though it's coming. This is real difficult stuff, isn't it? You know what? This would be a whole lot easier for us. A whole lot easier for us. If God would do it all for us. Then we could say, I'm in the faith. Why? Because God's doing it for me. Believe it or not, there are some Christians that believe that. Now, turn over to Romans chapter 11. It's very interesting when you know people are not in faith. You know what the first thing they do? When you know people are not in faith, the first thing they do is they try to prove to everyone they're in the faith. That means they need someone's approval. Listen, the only approval you need is God. Did you get that? Another thing that people go through when it comes to faith is they do it through a works mentality. It's centered all around what they say and do before man and God through physical means. They come up with a works mentality. Uh-oh, you just said it wrongly. You use the wrong word there. It won't work for you. People, God is not on a works program. He knows your heart. You might say the wrong thing, but that's not what you meant. You know, a lot of people, John Shears is a good one. He says, I know what you said, but I know, because I know you, that's not what you meant. He said, Pastor, you're going to get in trouble. And I have. But God's not up there. He said the wrong thing here. He wants a blessing. No, he ain't sowed any seed up here. None whatsoever. He don't even have any money up here to even give a recollect or account to. Another one, the people that say they're in the faith, and you pick this up, they're trying to receive something. They're always trying to receive something that has already been made complete and paid for. They're the ones who look for manifestation. Oh, I must have believed I got the manifestation. Thank God when we're young in the faith that God will do that in the beginning. He'll grace you through our ignorance. He'll grace us. But when you get to be in a certain age, grace is over, buddy. People, they don't realize that God is a good father. And that means he raises his children properly. And number four, they are poor listeners. They listen to everything and everyone. Mark 4:24, they're not diligent to hear. They're not faithful to the word. Being able to hear properly determines what ground the seed is planted in. Did you guys know that? He who sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh. He that sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit. Another one you can tell where they're not really in the faith is they apply faith only in unfavorable circumstances. Boy, we got into a situation now. Looks like we're going to have to exercise our faith. 2 Kings 6. 8 through 18 is where it talks about a man of God is always prepared. A man of God is always prepared. And number 6, there's no maintenance. They don't put a guard over their heart. Proverbs chapter 4. Galatians chapter 5, flesh and spirit are in conflict, in constant conflict with man and God. That's with themselves. And the last one is they measure their faith by the size of their problem. They measure their faith by the size of their problem. I can tell you, I've gotten into some problems. Has anybody ever gotten into problems? I've gotten into some problems way beyond me. The first thing I did is I had to stand back. Did I behave myself in that, or was I deceived into it? If I was deceived into it, I can start right where I'm at, and God will set me free. He'll deliver me. But if I deliberately behave myself into a problem, then He'll correct me and still bail me out. Why would He do that? Because He loves you. He's not a God that's into tormenting you because you make a mistake. Of course, I've made very few mistakes, right, John? Very few mistakes. Right, Tammy and everybody? That was a lie. And so these are things we've got to think about when it comes to our faith. Now, in Romans chapter 11, no, it's, where is the faith? Is that, huh? Hebrews. Romans. Turn over to Hebrews. I had a brain lock up there because I was sitting there reading it. I said, that's not where I want to be. Okay. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I want you to get a hold of this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is very interesting, this word substance. It means hupostasis, which literally means that which stands under. That which stands under. So faith, we don't realize faith here, he's saying, your faith has substance because it stands under Christ. Did you get that? Your faith has substance if it's under, if it's standing under Christ. We need to get a hold of that. Of the things hoped for. This tells me right away when he says of the things hoped for. In the Greek it means things that have been provided under Christ, aorist tense. In the past. So the hope he's talking about here is not a future hope. The hope that he's talking about here is a hope that was put in Christ and fulfilled for you. It was fulfilled for you. So that your hope now is in the completed work of Christ, aorist tense. Not future tense, aorist. I know I went to Kenneth Hagin about this one because he says faith is never hope. Well, that threw me off, and then I explained it to him where I was coming from, and he says, you're right. Faith is not predicated on the fact of what you've done. Faith is predicated on the fact of what he's done. And it is the evidence. Oh my gosh, you mean to tell me it shows up? It shows up. You mean to tell me when we have a hope in Christ, it shows up? It shows up because he's given us his word. And it shows up because it came through things not seen. Boy, isn't that a mind twister? That means you're going to receive something before you see it. And that means your faith is going to be predicated on what Christ has already did for you. You mean to tell me it's going to show up? It's going to be the evidence that you've exercised your faith in a way of showing up when it came out of something you couldn't see. In the natural. The only way that you could see it was aorist tense. How many of you know that in the past, Christ could not come out of the grave until you were justified? We talk about resurrection, but you know, Christ himself could not come out of the grave until we were justified. That is Romans chapter 4, verse 24, 25. Now, Lot, watch this. For by this, I'm going to deviate from the translators because they didn't understand what faith was. For by this, the elders obtained witness. They obtained witness. How? By faith. We understand that the world, this word for worlds is not cosmos, it's the word for ages. That by faith we understand that the ages, been framed wrong, to have been adjusted by a rhema or a word from God. So that the things which are seen, the manifestation of your faith, the things that were seen, were not made. Move. This means to come into being out of things appearing. It never, your faith never brought forth anything out of what was appearing. Did you guys get that? We're not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, notice this. He says, by faith, we understand that the worlds to have been adjusted by a rhema of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. You know what he's telling us before he even gets into the heroes of faith? He says they change their time frame, their generation, their age. By faith, they change their dispensation. Wow. Wow. He comes down here to verse 6. But without faith, boy, I'm going to tell you, when I first read this, that did it for me on the faith message. But without faith, you cannot please God. You cannot please God. You know what is meant by that? You must believe that he is. And you know, believers that have a problem with faith, if you really pin them against the wall, they will even question whether God exists or not. I've ran into some of them. We got into my office, we got into a conversation about faith, and I'm looking at them, and I said to them, where have you been? That's not the God kind of faith I'm familiar with. And you know what they all told me? This a couple times. Well, do you really believe God exists? That's what one guy told me. And I looked at him and I said, you're in the wrong church, buddy. Of course, he left. Why? Because he was in the wrong church. He needs to go to a church where they're still trying to figure out whether God exists or not. I told him he was in the wrong church. And look at this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. What does that mean? First of all, you got to believe he's alive. And second one, and that he is a rewarder. Oh, that is so cool. He's a rewarder of who? Of those who diligently seek him. He goes on in all these verses. He goes on from Noah to Abraham to Sarah, and from Sarah to Isaac to Jacob to Joseph to Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. They all, and most of these, they said, hadn't even received the promise. Well, what promise? The promise of Christ, having seen it afar off. But they stayed true to their faith. They stayed true to believing. Did you guys get something here today? You know, I don't know who's present here, where your hearts are at, and those who are watching by live stream, but I want to take a few minutes and address the issue of, if you're listening by live stream, and I've caught your attention on how important it is to have faith in God, it's real simple to receive Christ. All you have to do is open your mouth and say, Father God, please receive me into your kingdom so that old things can pass away in my life and all things can become new. That is the greatest thing that anyone could ask for. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but you know I came into the kingdom of God. You know why I came into the kingdom of God? I was destroying myself. I had to stop the destruction, not only of myself, but my family. I was destroying my friends. I think I had company because I couldn't break some of the addictions. I do. I think I had company. And I'll never forget. My faithful Sue, bless her little heart, she'd go to church, sing in the choir. No, I just don't want to go. I turned on the church. You know, backsliders turn on the church. Isn't that funny? They don't turn on the world, they turn on the church. Why? Because the world's gotten back into them. They ain't going to turn on something that they want to go back to. They're going to turn on something they want to get free from. And that was my attitude. Until God did a wonderful work in my heart and brought me back. I'll never forget that Sunday. I was restoring an old 1936 or 38 Chevy two-door. And I was in the garage. Of course, I was smoking grass. And I was a booze drinker. And I'll never forget when I turned to that corner of that garage and saw that garbage can heaped with bottles of booze. I said to myself, Lord, something has got to change in my life. Something has got to change. And from that moment on, I couldn't get Jesus out of my mind. He stuck his face into my face constantly. So I ended up going to church. Boy, it felt so good to get back into fellowship with the Lord. So good. And if you're watching and that's your story, Jesus can set you free. Let's all pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving me. Getting away from my old life to live a new life in you. Amen. So if you're watching my live stream, don't hesitate to call us. And if anyone here had never received Jesus, we welcome you to come up here and we'll pray with you. And we won't give you COVID. Hallelujah. We'll give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. So stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, as we dismiss these people, if I've spoke to anyone here about confirming their walk with you, I would love to pray with them. And those that have come that now have got to go home, Father, may they have a safe trip home. Watch over them because you love them. And Father, I thank you so much for the ones that are dedicated, not only here, but also dedicated to us online. And Father, may we see them and everybody soon together. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.